What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
We're about to talk about the nations, guys. And I'm so pumped, I'm so excited, because I also know that this is a topic that is beating in the heart of every single person here. Because also, not only like is it obviously a part of the Great Commission to talk about and reach the nations, but we're in the most globalized generation ever. It's so crazy. They actually say that in our generation, for our age, we have more in common with someone our similar generation, literally on the other side of the planet, like in Japan, than between our parents. Wow. Does that make sense? It's so crazy. So I just see that sort of stuff and just think like, man, what does God want to do in terms of reaching every single nation in this generation? How is he going to send us, and how is he going to empower us even to reach people that we would have never thought he would use us to reach, right? I'm so pumped about it. So the title, the topic of this message is the title, The King is Calling. The King is Calling. And I'm so excited to talk about this. You might be like, okay, I've seen that like on people's sweaters. I saw that there's a Spotify album called The King is Calling. What is this? You may have never heard that phrase before, but I want to share a little bit of it with you. The King is Calling. And of course, you guys have probably heard that we have launched in the past year a movement called Black Voices. Yeah. Have you heard about that? Let's go, let's go, let's go. Where's the Black Voices crew at? Yeah. Let's go. Hey. So fun. We've been having so much fun in track. It's been so epic. But the reason we want to share this message is because this is actually a message for all of us, 100%. And fun fact, I'm actually half white too, so it's kind of fun. Like, I can talk to all of us a little bit. I'm like, I'm you too. Actually, another fun fact is in my family, I won't go into all the history, but half of my brothers and sisters are actually half Mexican. Like, grew up in El Paso, like fully in Mexican culture. So I just love it. I love all of the diversity, all the culture. But sometimes those things we can feel like are kind of like talking points in the church, right? Like, here's our diversity day, yay! But what I really believe, and we know God is on fire on this topic. And it's a part, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what skin tone you are here right now, this is a part of your inheritance in scripture, in the Holy Spirit, in the resurrection of Christ. And everything that happened here last night of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like Acts level outpouring, it's a part of your inheritance. So more than the, just kind of like, okay, we're talking about diversity, cool, woke stuff. Oh, no, that's not the heart behind this. It's let's dig into the Bible. Yeah. Because God is the originator of ethnicity, and he has a plan for every nation, and your name is written in that. Amen? Amen. Let's go. Let's go. So fun. So let me just pray as we start. So King Jesus, we just look to you right now. We thank you. We give you glory for all of how you've been moving in this whole school. God, that you are encountering each one of us. And God, I just ask that you would set us on fire on this topic. And God, I ask that you would impart to each one of us this message of an empowerment of all in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Amen. So I want to share a little bit even where this phrase came from, the King is Calling. And this really, I'm just bringing you kind of into our family story as Circuit Riders. So welcome to family time. Amen. Hi, friends. So this, the phrase, the King is Calling, so rewind the clock to January 2021. And of course, the whole world was shut down. We were all involved in that process. And because of that, we decided, the Send team decided to do an online streaming of the Send. And so we actually did that right here at the Crossing. It was in the building right over there. And so all the collaborators of the Send came together. And like a day before, they actually texted me and they're like, hey, can you do like a 2-minute prayer on a Black missions movement being released from America? So total honor. I'm so like, whoa, that's amazing. Yes, thank you. And just pumped even just to pray this out and that more of us could get a heart for seeing minorities empowered in the place of missions. Yeah. Did you guys know, just to bring us all into this moment, just when you think of America alone and the missions movement out of America. Did you know that how many of those people are black that are like, I'm a missionary from America? It's less than 1% of the missions movement from America are black. So interesting, right? And it'd be interesting to hear what that's like for every other ethnicity as well. But in that place, we know there's a gap and we know God wants to do more. Yeah. So they invite me to do that prayer. And it's always funny being invited to do like a 2-minute prayer and then preparing for it. Feels kind of silly, right? Like, okay, God, what do you want me to say in 2 minutes? So I'm preparing for it. I've got what I want to say. And we're in that room and they invite me up. And as I'm walking up, I've actually never had this happen before. But as I'm literally walking up, they're giving me the mic to say the prayer for Black Missions Movement. I hear the Lord say so clearly. He says to me, the King is calling. And I was just so hit. And in that moment, something hit my spirit of like, oh, dang, God is serious about this. Like, God is for real on this topic of seeing minorities sent, not from the sidelines, but on the front line along with everyone else, sent with a voice for the kingdom, Black, Asian, Hispanic, Arab, Native American, every single one, all running together, fully empowered, breaking every disqualification. So this thing in my spirit of like, dang, God is really serious about this. And that whole moment in 2021, honestly, our entire Circuit Riders community was kind of in an encounter with God over this issue. So that was January. And of course, February then was around the corner and it was Black History Month. And so we just knew, man, there's something God's doing in this place. We want to press in. What do we want to do for Black History Month? And Brian Brandt, the leader of Circuit Riders, he said, you know what? Let's go ahead and do every Monday night. We're going to commit to diving into this topic to say, as a family, you know, we might not be able to determine what every single church is on this topic, but as a Circuit Riders family, we are in agreement with the heart of God over the issue of ethnicity and race. So we spent every single Monday night and it was so powerful. Brian spoke, Nick spoke, myself and Michael. And what we saw, again, because at this moment, the whole world was shut down, right? So it was all live streamed. And so our whole Circuit Riders community here, we're watching the live stream in our living rooms and in our community houses. And for every Circuit Rider that was here at that time, it was like a Holy Spirit outpouring in our living rooms. As we're diving into like, man, God, you know that injustice is real. God, you care intimately about any people group that walks through any form of injustice. Like to you, it's not a mystery and you have a redemption plan into it. We're pressing into all of those topics and looking at just the simple reality of these things. And the Holy Spirit starts encountering. And in our living room, we'd have maybe 12, 15 people there just in that service, in worship, just diving into this topic in the Lord. And people are crying. Like Hispanics realizing, man, I realized little subtle lies that I've been believing about myself, that I've just been okay with my whole life. But right now I'm realizing that God wants to break that lie. Yes. We have Justin, one of our friends from Korea in the group me. The group me of all of our staff just went off for like full 24 hours. The staff group me was in a group me revival and he changes his name to his Korean name. Other people are starting to change their name back to their original God-given name that reflects their nationality, their ethnicity. And it was like this awakening. And for white brothers and sisters, even the reality of like, man, I didn't realize that was an element. I didn't realize that was a dynamic. Man, God, give me a greater heart for this. And what was so amazing in all of that was we saw God cares. And in this whole conversation, he is the king over it all. And I feel like so often we're engaging on the level of the world in this conversation, right? Like the way that the world talks, the solution that the world has. But what God is getting our attention on is he's saying, no, no, no. Yes, engage with the world because you're called to be in the world, but you're not of it. I am a king. I'm the Lord of the harvest, and I have certain principles and certain ways that I want you to go about this conversation. One way being mercy, right? Another way being mourn with those who mourn, recognize injustice when it's happening. And we're seeing over the whole thing that the king has an opinion and the king is calling us. So in the midst of all that, we're all just getting wrecked. And we wrap up that February and we're just like, okay, God, what's next? What are you asking us to do? And Brian, we just honor Brian so much in this because he just had this almost like violence in his spirit of, we need to lock in on this. Like, this is a part of God's design, right? So come on. So we just said, okay, let's start in this place. Let's get on a Zoom with all the Black staff, because of course at the time, especially what was going on in the Black community was just so turbulent. So he just, as a white man leading a ministry with Black individuals in it, he said, you know, I don't know all the answers, but I want to hear your heart. So powerful just to start in that place, to say, I don't know all the answers. I don't even know all the right language, all the stats, but I want to hear from you as a friend. So we get on a Zoom together and we just share our heart. God's moving on the Zoom. And the idea is just pitched, what if we just in 2 months' time invite some our Black friends from across America, young Black men and women, to have a weekend of encounter with us? Like, just start in that place and just see what God does. And who knows, like, crazy ideas. It's just wild when God speaks a crazy idea that he's like, yeah, I'm behind that. So we all feel this kind of like risk in our hearts of like, what's going to happen if we do that? So we do, we just get a tent out at a church nearby. And in 2 weeks, like literally every person invited had like 14, like 10 days notice. Like, hey, you're invited to this. Do you want to come? And Eniola was one of them back here. Eniola, okay, also Eniola in worship this whole week, right? Absolute fire. We love you, Eni. So Eni flies out, others, some people we know, some people we don't know. And in that place, so we're in this tent, 50 men and women, Black men and women from like New Jersey, New York, California, Texas, all over the place. We're in this tent just gathering for a weekend. And it's like the encounter that was happening in the living rooms increased in that tent. It was like God was just putting his seal on, I don't need anyone's good ideas. I'm God. And I know what I want to do with my people. So we are all like, by Sunday, we're like picking ourselves off the floor. And it's actually really funny. It overflowed into the things we were doing corporately at Circuit Riders. Because then we have Monday, a lot of the 50 flew out, but some were still here. Monday, we have a staff training or a staff meeting in the morning and literal Holy Spirit glory encounter, like our whole staff. It was probably like what it looked like last night, just knocked out on the ground in encounter. It was like God was affirming, like, this is something that is for all of us to catch a hold of. We had a Monday night. I won't go into all the stories, but the Monday night explodes. Like, literally our whole community is like, we cannot deny that God cares about this. And we can't move forward as business as usual. God, give us your heart when it comes to minorities and different ethnicities being empowered in the gospel. And you know, Brian shared in all of that. I just want to share this. And I'm going to look at my notes here and there because there's several different things we want to touch on here. But Brian shared this dream that he had once that I think captures so much of the heart of this. And in the dream, he's in a restaurant. He's at a table. He's ordering food. And as he's ordering food, he looks down and there's a lower level down and he hears a man who's yelling racial slurs at Brian. And like harassing him, like bullying him and yelling at him. And Brian looks at his skin and says, oh my gosh, his skin is Black. And in the dream, Brian is a Black man. And this guy is yelling racial slurs at Brian. And he realizes, man, I feel so weak. Like I have no ability to defend myself in this situation. So he walks outside and he kind of drops to the ground in his weakness. And then he says he sees a Black mother comes to him, picks him up and says, I'm giving you the boldness of the civil rights movement. Crazy. This is the founder of Circuit Riders, has this dream. And he shares it with our whole community. And again, we're like, ooh, God's on this. Ooh, what does God have in store? Because the civil rights movement did a lot. Martin Luther King accomplished a lot. And for God to say, I'm giving you the boldness of that movement. And for all the more for it to be about the gospel and salvation in the nations. And what I want to say is that's for all of us in here. That's for all of us in here. So we're stirred. And basically this whole movement launches of the Black Voices movement in a few months out of that tent. We just, again, we literally give an invitation out to Black friends all across America, and we said, we're doing something. It was in this room, guys, in August of that year. We had a gathering, 300 people fly out. Majority of them had never heard of Circuit Riders before. We weren't promoting any main preacher, any main worship leader. It was purely Jesus and Black people. Jesus and Black people. And people were so excited because what? There's not a lot of space for that, right? Because the world has hijacked this message. The world has hijacked this issue. So that's why it's so important for us to say, no, as a Bible-believing Christian, let me step into what the Bible says in the heart of God. Come on, did you know that this next generation, Gen Z right now, everyone, majority of us in here are Gen Z. I'm actually not, I'm a millennial, sorry. Proud of being a millennial. But of Gen Z right now is 47% minority. So 47% Asian, Native American, Arab, Hispanic, Black, 47%. But the next generation, Gen Alpha, which is, let me see what the age, Gen Alpha, yeah, basically, I don't remember the exact year that it goes. What's that? 12 and under. So everyone right now that's 12 and under, Gen Alpha is going to be 51% minority, which means it's the first time in American history that we're going to have a generation that is mostly minority, that the minority is actually the majority. Which is like, okay, well, why does that matter? The main heart there is saying that as a church, if we can't get the heart of God, we've got to grab a hold of God in this environment, in this new day, in this generation that you've called me to be a voice in. How can I empower all? How can I reach all? How can I have a heart for all? If there are people that have walked through injustice, as a Bible-believing Christian, I want to be able to stand with them in that. Come on. And there's a place for a greater empowerment, I believe, of all of us. And it's not someone trying to convince you of some agenda. It's you coming before God. It's you coming before God and getting his heart. So that's why we want to talk about this. So we're going to talk real quick. We're going to talk about ethnicities and minorities. We're going to talk about injustice. And we're going to talk about calling. And here's the thing. God is not afraid of these topics. He's not. He's not afraid of these topics. He's so intimately involved in redeeming our stories. He's so involved in it. So I actually want to run through a few quick scriptures real quick. Would that be good?
Yeah.
And what I actually want to encourage, because this is honestly what I feel. This whole the King is calling message, I don't believe that this is just my message or a message of Circuit Riders. I believe this is your message. Who does God have for you to reach and for you to empower?
Come on, yeah.
So even maybe as I go through these scriptures, if you want, I want to encourage you to write down these scriptures because you're a part of this conversation. As you get back to your college campus, as you're empowering people, reaching people, what are you going to say on this topic, right? So if you want, you can take notes, but I want to look at this first scripture, Revelation 7:9. It's always fun to just go straight to Revelation. Just go straight to the end, see what happens. And this is what John writes. He says, after this, I looked and saw a multitude too large to count from every nation and tribe and people and tongue. From where? From every nation, tribe and people and tongue. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. Oh, I just skipped. Yeah, I missed the moment here. I skipped the deal. Okay, here we go. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God went out of his way to put an exclamation point on. He uses literally four words to make this point. From every nation and tribe and people and tongue. So we see that even in the fullness of time, when we're before King Jesus, we don't just lose who we are. Yeah. We don't just lose our ethnicity. We don't just lose our identity. It is actually a God-given peace that he has still expressed literally in heaven.
Wow.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And I want to say to any minority in this place or any white person, if there's any element of your ethnicity that you've had any ounce of self-hatred on, today is the day to break it. Today is the day to let it go and say, this is God's design in my life. I am beautiful. I am called. There is a purpose. And I am still going to be a black woman. I'm still going to be an Asian woman, an Arab man, whatever it is that you are. I'm still going to be that before his throne.
Yes, Yasmin.
And he loves it. Come on.
Yes, Yasmin.
Another scripture. It also talks about the end. Matthew 24 and then also 28. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples about the end of the age. And this is a kind of longer one, but it's just fun to get the full big picture. Matthew 24, verse 3. While Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That's a natural question. Like, I feel like I would want to ask Jesus that, right? Like, how are we going to know? When are you coming back, Jesus? What's it going to look like? And he says this. He says, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Verse 9. They will deliver you over to be persecuted and killed. Bummer. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Verse 10, at that time, many will fall away and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Verse 12 to 14, because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And then he says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. How beautiful. Jesus is going out of his way to say, every single nation is going to be reached. All the world is going to be reached with this beautiful good news. There's not a single people group that won't have a chance to turn. There's not a single tribe that will be left unreached. How beautiful that that's in the heart of our God to say, I'm waiting for them all. I'm waiting for them all to have a chance. I'm waiting for them all to have an opportunity to hear and to turn. That's his heart. Come on. And then he continues a few chapters later in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We know it, but it's just good to hear over and over again. Then Jesus came to them and said, in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Friends, every single individual in here, no matter your skin color, this is your mission statement. You've been told by the Lord to go and make disciples of people who look like you? Of your environment? Of all nations? White friends, do you believe you have a message for your black brother and sister? Asian friends, do you feel like you have a message to your white brother and sister? Make disciples of all nations. And what I want to say here, though, is we know that's the big picture, but sometimes we can carry those disqualifications in our heart that is basically like a no, God, you can't do that in my life. So today is about breaking that disqualification right now and say, I'm going to go to all, whoever it is, wherever it is that you want to send me. And I guarantee you, God's going to bring them to your doorstep. God's going to bring them to you. Come on. Okay, I want to talk about one more. Can we go to one more scripture?
Yeah.
This is just good. This is just good. Okay, Acts 2. Acts 2. Because this is so beautiful, and I believe such a picture of where we are today. I'm going to read from 1 to 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Here it is, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. That would be a crazy moment for you personally, right? Like I'm speaking a language that I don't know, but it's an actual language as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Again, God goes out of the way to make a point. There were Jews here from every nation under heaven. And when this sound rang out, come on, who here is carrying a sound? Who here is carrying a sound to reach every tribe? When this sound rang out, a crowd came together in bewilderment. I feel like that's what we're experiencing in Black voices right now.
Oh, yeah.
Bewilderment. Like, yeah. What? is happening? Because each one heard them speaking his own language. How crazy is that? And then he lists them. Let's just go to the list real quick. Verse 9. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia. I don't have any clue where most of these places are. Egypt, there we go. Near Liberia, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, like basically brand new believers, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Come on. God is pouring out power to intentionally reach every nation. And I believe this picture of what we see in Acts 2 is exactly what he is still doing today, where he is empowering each one of us to reach people where we would literally say, I don't know what God is doing through me. I don't know what is happening right now, but somehow that people group is being reached. Some of you guys have a heart in here for entire communities, and it doesn't make sense. It seems like the Holy Spirit loves to release a holy bewilderment on us, a holy mayhem. I believe right now, what does God want to do? What sound does he want to release through your life that catches the heart of a different people group? How does he want you to empower someone else who can reach a different people group? The whole point that I'm even looking at in all of these scriptures is to say God is intentional about reaching specific people in the context where they are. In a language that they can understand. And it's important to God. It's literally like it's what happens in the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I need to bring myself back in because there's so many places to go right now. But in the first moment, I mean, for hundreds of years, the Jews were waiting. God, when are you going to pour out your spirit? And in the first moment that he does, what does he do? He gives all language so every tribe can reach him. Gosh, so crazy. And sometimes we can think, understandably, well, like, is this really biblical to talk about race and ethnicity, though? Like, doesn't it say in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. Like, is this really biblical? And that's why I want to go there, because it makes sense, that wrestle. But here's the thing, in that scripture, like we've seen, it's not saying that every ethnicity and tribe is just going to like, there's nothing. Like, it's just not there. That's not what that scripture is saying. It's not saying that there's literally now Jewish people are not a thing. It's not saying that. It's not saying men and women are now just literally not a thing starting today. No, it's saying in terms of their value in Christ, there is now no difference between a man and a woman, a Jew, a Gentile, a slave or free, and for they are one in Christ Jesus. So we need to be equipped with this scripture to say, no, it actually is biblical to talk about ethnicity. It is biblical to say what's happening in a people group and how can we reach them and speak a language that means something to them. It's 100% biblical. We got to be equipped with these scriptures and understand what that meant in Galatians 3, that there's no difference in value. I just want to look at one or two more and then keep rumbling. But is this helpful to anyone? Yes. Come on. I have so many. I'm going to skip a few scriptures here. But I want to make the point in Acts 6 as well, as this Holy Spirit revival is happening, in Acts 6, they see this injustice occurring. Injustice is real in the Bible. They see this injustice occurring where there are Greek widows and there are the Jewish widows. So the Greek, of course, are newer to the faith. And what they're seeing is that in the distribution of food, in the charity that's happening, the Greek widows are being overlooked and the majority of it is going to the Jewish widows. And so there it says, in those days, in Acts 6, 1, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Greek Jews among them began to grumble against the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. So they took intentional part to set aside 7 different leaders who they said, make sure that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sure that they actually are anointed by God to take on the bringing about of justice in an area of injustice. Filled with the Spirit of God. We're going to dive back into that in a minute, but God is intentional of looking what is happening even between different people groups and how they relate to each other. He cares and he wants to anoint us in the Holy Spirit to go into that setting. Is that mind blowing or what? Oh, there's so many more, but I want to keep rumbling. One is the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's just go there for a second. Literally, Philip is transported, teleported in the spirit. My point is God is like over and above intentional. He's like, there's an Ethiopian passing by. He's going back to his nation. He's trying to understand. So what I need to do is I need to literally do one of the craziest miracles. Yes. I'm going to teleport you to him and explain, have you explain to him the truth of the gospel so he can take it back to his people. The intentionality of God. Oh, I'm going to do one more. I'm so sorry, guys. Here's the thing. The Bible is our weapon against the lies of the enemy. Yes. And when we don't understand it, when we don't realize like, oh, the Bible talks about this, we don't know how to wage war when all of the nations are rising up, right? But now we can get clarity and know like, no, this is God's heart. And let me point to these places. The last one in Acts 13, this is in the moment where they're commissioning Paul, the first and maybe even greatest missionary of all time. They're about to commission Paul into his assignment to go out to a whole region. And I want to say this, they have three different men who lay hands on Paul and Barnabas to send them out. Two of those three men were African men that commissioned Paul as a missionary. If the slave drivers didn't tell anybody that, right? The slave owners who said, no, we need to take out dozens of books of the Bible and we can only give a pamphlet of the Bible to the slaves, who left out the truth of, no, actually African descent is written all throughout the Bible. And actually African men were ones who were the spiritual authority that laid hands on and commissioned Paul as a missionary. While the church is uncomfortable talking about these things, the enemy is doing everything he can, working overtime to try to convince people groups that this word of God, that this faith is not theirs. To convince people groups, the devil is working overtime to convince the black population that Christianity is the colonizer's religion. That Christianity is the oppressor's religion, and in that, even getting other people groups, the white allies, white friends saying, yeah, I don't believe in Christianity. Wow. The devil's working overtime. Wow. But if we would get a hold of the Bible and say, no, I'm gonna shake off any hesitation to talk about ethnicity, to talk about injustice, and I'm gonna walk in the heart of God to say, no, the colonizer's religion, the oppressor's religion, Africans were in here way before, actually, that this made its way to Europe. Like, literally, Africans were in here way before this made its way to Europe. African men commissioned Paul himself. I'll look at that scripture real quick. Acts 13:1. Now, in the church at Antioch, where there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, which Niger meant black, and was an indication that you had black skin from Africa. Yeah. Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene was also a whole region in Africa. Wow. Manian and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands and sent them off. The point of saying that Africa is written into the Bible is not even saying, it's just like Galatians 3, there's no difference in value at all because we're all one in Christ. But we're saying that just cuts it at its root, the whole argument that Christianity is the oppressor's religion or the colonizer's religion. No. The Holy Spirit is like, I was here way before they were. Come on. So where does that put us? Where does that put us? Each one of us in this room. It puts us in the place of saying, man, I need to follow the Lord's call to disciple all nations. And sometimes God might have to do something crazy like an Acts where he pours out new languages. Maybe for you, maybe it is a literal new language, but maybe it's a sign of he's pouring out a sound over your life. He's pouring out a gift over your life to reach specific people. Sometimes God has to pour out and say, no, I see the injustice happening here that my church is actually complicit in. I see it, and I want to pour out and anoint in the Holy Spirit people to actually address and make right the injustice. Come on. So that word injustice, right? I mean, sometimes we bristle at that word because it can be so loaded. And for the past 2 years, right, it's like we've been saturated in this topic. But again, it's like the world has hijacked the topic of injustice. But can we talk about it for a minute in light of God's heart? Let's talk about just for a moment injustice, and we're going to wrap up and pray. But I just want to talk for a moment about injustice. We literally had a whole morning the other day on injustices, right? It's real. It's real in God, and God cares about it. And like he said to Moses, he says to Moses, I hear the cry of my people. I feel like in the church sometimes we feel hesitant to even like call injustice what it is. Because it has been so politicized and all that, right? But God's saying, I hear the cry of my people. We see in the life of Joseph, and I'm just gonna mention this briefly. We see in his life, he's literally sold into slavery by his own family. Like, talk about injustice. You're sold into slavery by your own family. He then is framed for doing something that he's completely innocent of doing. He didn't do it all. He's put in jail for that misrepresentation. He's in jail. In that place, he's serving people, and they promise to help him out. They never do. Eventually, he's promoted to favor in a foreign nation that he's completely foreign to, and then his brothers rock up, right? And in that place, what does he say? He says, what you meant for evil, God has used for good. And here's the crazy thing. Those 11 brothers and Joseph, they were the 12 tribes, right, of Israel. God used the injustice of Joseph's life to save Israel out of a famine. And the fact that he was redeemed out of the pit of injustice and now in a place of administering favor, famine was hitting all of the other tribes and they are literally gonna die. And that's why they came to him in Egypt and said, can you help us? If it weren't for God redeeming the injustice in Joseph's life, would the tribes of Israel ever have made it out of that famine? Wow. Here's the thing about injustice. God 100% is aware and his heart breaks and he hears the cry over injustice. And he also is a God of crazy redemption over it. A God of crazy redemption. As we're talking about injustice, we know for the black community, not only centuries of slavery, but then a whole era of Jim Crow segregation. As a church, we should be able to just look at that and say, that's injustice, like 100%. To say like, yeah, you can have the same rights, but you can't be close to us. For generations. And do we really want to assume that that doesn't affect the black people group in America today? That just has had no impact on the people group? For Asian Americans, the Japanese internment, like we literally had like work camps where people are dying that we just shipped all the Japanese into. And today, talking to my Asian American friends, talking about the reality of violence against Asians, of prejudice against Asians and racism, it's real. As a church, we have to say, like, I'm gonna call injustice what it is. I know that's the heart of all of us in here, but we have to know, like, no, God and the Bible is behind this. Talking to my Latino friends, knowing that, man, a lot of Latinos grow up thinking that being Latin is a disadvantage. And the difference of my skin color, again, not everyone, but in an air and in an environment of saying, man, I only have a space to speak to other Latinos. I'm limited because of this element of who I am, viewed as different. For me personally, I think of Arabs all the time. When you think of racism in our generation, what it's like to walk around in America as an Arab person and almost like probably have to like apologize for who you are. These are real injustices. And here's the thing, it says in John 10:10, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what he does, right? And you see it over entire people groups. But Jesus came to give life and life abundant. And over this whole issue, I am 100% convinced while there is real injustice and we need to call it out, I know and I see in the Bible and I see God doing it today, he's a God who redeems. He's a God who brings abundant life in the midst of the story. And I just want to say this. As a church, if we're ones that are seeing another people group like claim that they've had injustice, but we're saying like, oh, I'm not sure if I'll call that. I don't know what. What I just want to say is we've got to be willing to say, God, give me eyes to see injustice. Yes. Give me eyes to see injustice. It says in Romans 12, it says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. It's the heart of God. And then what I also want to say is if we are coming from a people group that has experienced an injustice, it actually also says in Romans 12, it says, let me go to there right now. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Hold on, let me get all the way there. Yeah. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. What is God saying there? He's saying the injustice is real, but don't take on the heart of vengeance and the heart of, man, I'm going to get my way. I'm going to get back. God's saying, no. I'm aware of the injustice. Leave it in my hands. I'm going to deal with it. And I love even how Circuit Riders digs in and how we talk about injustice, because injustice is going to happen to all of us one way or another, right? It's going to happen to all of us. But freedom and the freedom we have in Christ, it lies in our response out of that place of injustice. So if we are in a people group that has identified with injustice, in Christ, we can say, yes, we've absolutely walked through this, but God is going to redeem my life and the life of my people. And so I also don't need to have the identity. I don't need to put on injustice as my identity. No, Christ is my identity. And he's a God who's going to redeem out of the pit.
That's right.
That's the place. And oh, it's so, if you guys saw on any of our Black Voices social media, we got this sound clip where Brian Brent was speaking to us in the tent in the very first Black Voices gathering. And he says this line about the Israelites being delivered. He says, isn't it so interesting that the first thing that God says to an oppressed people is to come out and sing? What is our response going to be out of the place of injustice? What is the message that we're going to carry? What is the sound that we're going to carry? God says, come out and sing.
Come on, yes.
So in all of this, injustice, in all of it, the King is calling. In all of it, God has a plan. And it's so interesting. We see, let me read this scripture and we're closing. There's just so much Bible on this and I'm just so excited about it. Let me look at this scripture because it's so interesting how we look at Joseph's life, who walks as an individual through injustice. But literally, when you turn the page from Genesis to Exodus, you then see almost like that injustice, now all of Israel is in it. So my point there is to prove that biblically, yes, of course, it's possible that an individual can walk in injustice, but it's also possible that a whole people group can as well. And this is what it says.
Wow, yes.
At the beginning of Exodus, it says in verse, actually, I'll just skip down to here. We all know, you know, the Israelites end up in Egypt. It literally passes off the story from Joseph to now all of Israel is in Egypt. They're being oppressed. They've been made as slaves. I'm just going to read this one verse in Exodus 1:14. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. Harsh labor, bitter lives. It's a whole people group that are being oppressed and are in injustice. And it says, God sees it. God sees it. Man, guys, this is helpful.
Come on, yes.
To say it's not unbiblical to say that a people have walked through oppression.
Come on, come on.
And what does God do? Moses rises up in his own, like fervor against this injustice. He sees what it is, right? He kills the Egyptian man when he's fighting the Hebrew. He rises up in his own strength and his own conviction. But then what happens the next day? He sees that same violence happening between two of the same brothers. He sees the same injustice happening between two Hebrews. And he's sent into confusion. He's sent into disarray. He goes out into the wilderness. He's tried to rise up in his own justice movement. And he's seen it fails. Man, that didn't bring the solution I thought it was going to bring. Man, I thought I was doing a heroic thing. He finds himself in the wilderness, probably disenchanted, probably hopeless, alone. Who do I even fit in with right now? Who am I even supposed to be? And in that place, God shows up in a burning bush. The king is calling. In that place, God says to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. And Moses, who had all of the personal disqualifications, God says, I'm with you. I'm going to do it. I have power to deliver. I have power to redeem. God did it. God did it. And he's still doing it. He's redeeming us out of injustice. What is the greatest injustice of our day? It's boys and girls, men and women, not knowing that there's eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. It's boys and girls. Every nation, every race has been oppressed by the enemy. And Jesus is anointed to set the captive free. And he says then in the Great Commission, now tag, you're it. I'm sending you. And it's better that I go because I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit so that you can reach all. The King is calling. He's calling your name. He knows even more than you do about the injustice in people's lives, in individuals' lives, and in entire people groups. And he's saying, here, come with me. Here, come with me. I know you're riled up. I know you want to step out in heroism. But let me show you things my way. And God brings actual deliverance. As I close, I just want to pray. But my heart in all of this is to say, I don't believe this is just a message for myself or others of us here. I believe the King is calling is a message for you. I believe the message that says God wants to reach everyone and empower all is a message that he wants you to carry. Who is he calling you to empower? Who is he calling you to administer healing to in Christ through injustice in their lives? So what I want to ask is, if you feel a fire on this right now, can I just ask you to stand? If you're just saying, I want God to meet me in this. Come on. I just feel this with all my heart, that God has the solution and that it's in this room. Yes. That in our actual lives, in the actual next steps of people here, in the risk, in the simple steps of obedience, God is going to break the boundaries that the world tries to set between people groups. So God, I ask right here, if you just want to raise your hands and surrender to God, God, I just ask right here in this place, God, I ask for a fire from your Holy Spirit, just like Moses coming to the burning bush. God, we ask for a fire from your Spirit that's more than hype, that's more than just following along with a cool trend, but it is a fire of the eternal living God, Alpha and Omega, who says, I am over this issue more than anybody else. My people are my people. God, we ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for Brian's dream that says, I'm going to release on you the boldness of the civil rights movement. Holy Spirit, I ask for a spiritual boldness right now. Holy Spirit, God, over white brothers and sisters that say, God has given me a message. The message of reconciliation. Release it, God, that there would be a boldness in their heart that might even say, man, I might not have experienced what you've experienced, but I carry the heart of God. God, we ask that you'd empower white brothers and sisters. Boldness in the heart of God. God, I ask for every minority in this place, any ounce of disqualification to be broken today. Broken today. Broken today. Yes, God. Yeah, can we just all repeat out this prayer with me together? We're just going to declare back this heart of this message to God. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
you have called me,
you have called
to,
me
reach
to reach
every nation.
Every nation.
I break off every limitation, that has been put on me,
that I have assumed.
My voice,
my life,
is assigned
to all. I will speak.
I will walk in boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus,
give me the nations.
Give me the nations.
Yes, God. Yes, God. The last thing I want to say is, like Moses, and this applies to everyone here, we can think like, oh, but I'm not the most qualified in this. Honestly, even the Lord passing to me and the rest of the team, this Black Voices movement, we're all looking around like, wait, you want who to do what? But God's like, no, I care about the people you're going to reach. I need you to go. So God, right now over every person here, I just pray for a godly confidence to accept our call, to accept our call, to accept our call. The King is calling. Holy Spirit. We ask for a godly confidence. God, we thank you that you promised, just like to Moses, I will be with you to the end of the age. Isn't it crazy? That's what he said in the Great Commission. It's what he said to Moses. It's what he said to Joshua. I am with you. So God, right now, I just want to take literally 30 seconds to intercede that God would give us people groups.
Yes.
That God would give those of us in this room, that he would give us people groups, East Africa, yes, Southeast Asia, yes, the Himalayas, yes, the inner cities of America, yes, Latin America. Yes. Can you cry out with your own voice and ask, God, give me the nations? Jesus. Holy Spirit. Come on, cry out. He says, you have not because you ask not. It's my inheritance in the Great Commission. God, you said you've called me to reach all, to disciple all. Give us the inner cities, Jesus. Send us, God. Give us the inner cities. God, give us the Asian population, Jesus. Give us the Latino. We ask for a mighty uprising in the Latino population. God, we ask for a sound to be released in the Latino population. God, we ask for unreached people groups right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask even for a sending of ones in this room. Holy Spirit. Yes, God. Come on. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, I ask throughout the rest of this day and this week that you would speak to each and every one of us about how the King is calling us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on. Love you guys. So awesome.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at circuitriders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.